If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This is the O Access Jamaica podcast, Reasonings with Odessa, episode 13. Hey guys, it's December, it's Christmas is in the air, you know, it's all about sorrel and Christmas cake and lots of things, and my birthday is on the 22nd of December, so big up all the December babies, big up the Capricorn season, it's in the air, and what else is in the air is that I'll be in the air pretty soon, heading off to Ghana. Yes, Ghana, I'm going home, brafay, all of that jazz. I cannot wait to give you guys all the information. That's all going to be in the next Africa series. So this is the last season of Reasonings with Odessa. I'll be catching you guys back in January with all the podcasts that I've put together, talking to people from Africa, people of the diaspora that have moved there, and vice versa. So I'm not giving away too much, but anyway, guys, you are listening to Midas by the talented and wonderful Jane McGizmo. So we're going to get into some rants that I just want to kind of just brush off. You know what I'm saying? Brush it off, off of my chest. Yeah, let's go. All right, guys, so I'm going to do a quick rant. And Miss Universe happened over the weekend, and I think it was on Saturday. Our very own Miss Universe, or Miss Jamaica Universe, or Miss Universe Jamaica, how they do it. What's her name again? Ayana. She had on her national costume. Now, I have nothing to say bad about Ayana. I love her. She's adorable. She's a very sweet girl. Big up yourself, girl, if you're listening. But the organizers of the Miss Jamaica, or the Miss Universe, or the Miss Jamaica Universe pageant got it all wrong when it came to her costume. Her costume was about the White Witch of Rose Hall, Annie Palmer. Now, for those who don't know much about Annie Palmer, she was called the Wicked Witch. My dad used to sing a song to me when I used to drive past the Rose Hall grounds. Annie Palmer, she was a wicked witch. Annie Palmer, she was a devil witch. Annie Palmer, the White Witch of Rose Hall. And that used to petrify me. But Annie Palmer's known for killing her husbands, murdering how much slaves. She was just, as they say, a devil witch. And they made our Miss Jamaica Universe pageant contestant wear a costume that represented her. What has that got to do with Jamaican culture? It might be historic or history, but it has nothing to do with Jamaican culture. Guys, you got it wrong. You got it so wrong. And they got it so wrong that they even were like telling people on their Instagram page that why are we arguing about it? This is something that we shouldn't be arguing about, but it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to have a plantation owner of slaves represent our country and our culture of Jamaica. It was just wrong. So people were pissed off on Twitter. Everybody was just ranting and raving about it. And I basically thought that Rose Hall should have at least waited for the pageant to be over. And then they could have done a whole campaign using our Miss Jamaica Universe, like a whole campaign to advertise the grounds, to advertise everything. They didn't have to have her in that costume. They didn't have to force her, because you know, if you are a pageant or you're a contestant in a pageant, that if your sponsor gives you something, you've got to put it on, you've got to wear it. So those that are out there cussing homegirl, don't cuss her. It's not her fault. She's just doing her job. But guys, you got it wrong. The organizers, you know, I love you guys. You got it wrong. You got it wrong. You need to fix up. And on that note, that's my rant. All right, guys, I just want to rave about the consistency that I have with the podcast this year. It's so cool. And I have to big up Ideas Evolution for assisting me with this, because without them, the podcast would not be consistent. So I've got to big them up. And I also have to big you guys up for listening, for reviewing, for raving about it. Guys, thank you so much, so much, so much. You don't even understand. Next year, pulls that skirt. The thing I got ton up. There's so much things I want to tell you what's going to be happening with Reesings. But again, I just want to thank you guys for listening, you guys for sharing. And again, big up to Ideas Evolution. All right, guys, let's get into it. I was so happy finally to sit down with my brothers, Peter and Gramps Morgan of Morgan Heritage. And this one was really cool because we were just talking about life, love and spirituality, as well as Africa. So let's just get into it. All right, it's Reasonings with Odessa, and I'm sitting in front of Reggae Royalty, my brothers, who I adore, love.
Yes.
And we're just, this is going to be fun. The only thing is not fun is that you don't drink like me.
Yeah, oh God. It's all good.
It's Gramps, it's Peter, and it's Morgan Heritage. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're late again.
Absolutely.
Sorry. God, Jesus. Guys, they're the called late.com. Late.com.
Sorry.
I don't understand.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
We apologize.
Jamaica, man, the heat slows us down.
How?
Hey.
Oh. Look at some little Atman. All right. So you guys were born in Brooklyn.
Yes, I
and
am.
You were raised in Springfield.
Massachusetts.
How did that come about?
Oh, my grandmother.
Yeah?
My grandmother.
Get them out of here. Get them out of Brooklyn.
Why? What was wrong with BK?
Can you imagine if we was raised in Brooklyn from babies? It would have been a totally different story.
She knew that the education system was better in Massachusetts than it was in New York.
Yeah.
In the boroughs at the time.
Yeah.
She moved there before my dad.
Mm-hmm.
She said it's a very good place to raise children and family. So she encouraged her son to take his family to Massachusetts, and that's where we got our education.
Yep.
So we was constantly between Springfield and Brooklyn all our years growing up.
Nice. And when was it when you came to Jamaica? Well, some of you were based in Jamaica, and some of you moved up.
Well, we all came to Jamaica when our father decided to move back home in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what was the transition like for you? Like, were you always, because like me, my dad used to send for me every year.
Yeah,
I'd be in Jamaica,
there was no
between
real transition
New York
for
and
us,
Jamaica.
Same thing.
Okay.
Like, I mean, we didn't come to Jamaica constantly, but the way our parents raised us, they didn't
mm-hmm.
raise us like an American family.
Mm-hmm.
They raised us as we were growing up in Clarendon, in the country, in Jamaica.
Right.
When you come in at the yard or come in at the Morgan house, at Jamaica,
he wasn't
in America anymore. So moving to Jamaica in 94, it was an easy transition for us. It was almost, there's no difference
That's
for us.
That's weird, because I moved
Culture
to,
was in the home.
I moved to Jamaica 94, January 93, and then December 93, and started my year 94. So look
wow,
at that.
Wow, look at that.
And we also have a lot in common. Most people that are listening to the podcast don't know that my dad is Jimmy Cliff. So it's the first time I'm saying that.
Wow.
And that's why both of us have a lot in common, or
True,
all of
absolutely.
Us have a lot in common. There's a question I hate. I don't know about you guys, but for me, what's it like being a child of reggae royalty? Or what's it like being a child of Delroy Morgan or Jimmy Cliff? For me, I get annoyed. I'm just like, is it normal for you? How do you respond to that?
It's a discovery question for us, you know, because when people ask us, it's like, we don't know Delroy Morgan,
right.
Mr. I'll do anything for you. So 8 million records, we know daddy.
That's the same thing.
You know,
me.
So to the world, he said, what is it like being, what do you mean? It's my father.
Yeah.
Right? But it's when you turn to an adult, you know, you say, oh, whoa.
You understand who your father
is. Oh, I get
outside
it.
Outside of home.
He was a, you know, and it's for you. It's probably a discovery moment as well. He's like, oh, daddy, where, how did they come movie? Like a big mega
still,
superstar.
It's still my dad. But when I went on tour, it was more like, wow, these people are waiting in the mud, in the rain.
To see my daddy.
My dad.
Yeah,
they're mad.
Because
I'll be home.
Right.
But again, I just saw it as my dad. But it was like, wow. It was still a wow moment for me.
Of course.
So, wow. Okay. So, Gramps, we're going to go into like your businesses, because you are all entrepreneurs, and I know Gramps, you have your farm, Gramps Farm, and you've just gone into CBD business. Mm-hmm. What is it, the CBD business that you're promoting, or what you're?
Yeah, well, I own my own CBD company along with my wife, which it came about funny because I don't smoke herb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not into casual smoking or recreational smoking, so they call it. But because of my son being born, having multiple seizures, and he had to, you know, that's for a story for another time.
Right.
But he's the one that really forced us into it, and she's a scientist and a doctor that really jumped into and said, "Yo, we gotta fix this." And then we was in Forbes magazine 4 times, and nobody, this is probably the first, you're the first media house I'm telling this to, and nobody in reggae knew about it as a reggae artist. And it's become something special, and we wanted to share what we discovered with the rest of the world to help heal other children.
That's
because
right.
it's a special CBD. There's nothing like it.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there is nothing like it.
We have to do another podcast
another story right now. It's about loyalty.
Yes, that's loyalty. Peter, you're doing production now. So,
you've been doing production. I work a lot with the Polynesian. I did a lot of work with J-Book.
So you're in Hawaii a lot?
Well, actually, between Hawaii and California.
Nice.
You know, his second album, his EP that got nominated for a Grammy.
Right.
I did a lot of work with him, and a lot of his songs we wrote together.
Nice.
You know, before it was me, his anchor guy was a man called Fiji, who was like Polynesian Barry Salmon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and since we met, I've taken a lot of pressure off of Fiji having to be that there for J-Book. So me and Fiji and myself, we worked along with a lot of other people that J-Book works with, but, you know, it was a great time doing that. And, you know, working with other people outside of Jamaica on reggae music, it was an eye-opener. To understand how much this music is bigger than just us. You know what I mean? It's not just Jamaica. And the world hears reggae music the way they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell them, say it's not reggae music, because in their country, that's what it's played on the radio as. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You go in America and you hear them talking about the latest in hip-hop, R&B, and reggae, and then you hear a Mavado song. You can't tell the people in New York saying a reggae that, because that's what they perceive as reggae. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So to understand where the music is and how it's growing and how it's been growing, you just got to accept it and appreciate it that, you know, the music is being kept alive by the world, not just Jamaica.
Right. I like that. All right, so Cool to Be Conscious Music Group.
Yes.
Who came up with that? That whole name for your label?
Really, I would say it was Peter that came with the name. Me and him was on the flight, and we was just about to get back in business with VP Records and finish our contract. We had one album left for them, which was Here Come the Kings album. And we said, all right, let's do this deal, but we want to put it out on our own label. Let it be a partnership. And they said, let's go. And we said, what are we going to call it? What are we going to call it? Got our own label. And I was like, we want to make conscious music. We don't want it to be religious, but more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, to try to make religious music, because even with a lot of with the Rastafarian music, we sell religion so much. And what we as a family, because we travel so much, and I've seen my father transition from so many, from 12 Tribe to Bobo Shanti to so many different things. And, you know, and we as his children is the same thing. We always make sure we study spirituality. So we study Islam.
Mm-hmm.
We look at Buddhists, and we see Christianity with Rastafarianism. Mm-hmm. So we more see it as a consciousness. When we said you don't have to dread to be Rasta, we grew up. I had a goatee before and a blowout, and we used to all get we haircut. And we was Rastafarians, you know. So we wanted people to know that it's not a dreadlocks thing. It's not a ital and put on a Selassie button and a khaki suit and say you're Rasta. That's not what make you a Rasta. It's the conception of your heart and believing in the divinity of Emperor Haile Selassie.
Amen.
That he's of that Solomonic throne, you know, to know the history of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say cool to be conscious, you always hear me say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a art and a call to say, man, hey, listen, forget all the religious stuff. Let's just be. conscious. Be conscious of what you put in your body. Be conscious of how you treat others. Be conscious of where you go. Be conscious of what come out of your mouth to others.
Mm-hmm.
So we just said CTBC Music Group, SHOT as an acronym, and just say cool to be conscious music.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. So let's go back to being the children of. Now, there's something that me and you also have a little vibe with.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like yourselves.
Yes.
And people always ask me, so is that your half brother and sister? Is that your half brother and sister? And I'm like, no, that's just my brother.
Yes. Right.
And even my mom had. It's not my dad's son, but my dad still treats my brother as his son. And my brothers and sisters still call him as their brother.
That's right.
And vice versa. My other brother's sister, who's not, that's my sister.
Mm-hmm. Simple.
So I don't understand the conception of half brother this, half sister that.
Neither do we.
Neither do we. And that makes my dad and your dad very special.
Yeah.
Because, and it just shows you the kind of man that they are, you know, because to believe in that Afrocentric way of thinking and keeping your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see the word family, and I'm going to expose this to you for the first time. You see, when we think family, and it's like, yeah, every woman, like when you have, especially when you have children with more than one woman, the one woman, I'll feel like my family and my kids, and the next woman, but if they understand that they are part of a kingdom, and it is one king, they will adjust themselves accordingly and know that they're part of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But the king rules, and I think that is the thing that I'm excited about you, you know, digging your hands into Africa and making that trip to Ghana, because it's important, and I know you're going to return different. I know it.
Oh, I will, definitely.
I know it.
When I clicked book, I started crying.
You see?
Like, every time I listen to the Brafe song by Damian Marley and Fuso DG, and what Damian says, I start crying.
Yeah,
I have a friend who's from Gambia, and I'm telling him, brethren, I'm coming, and I'm so emotional. And he's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're so emotional? I'm like, bro, you're not from slavery. You don't get it.
Right.
You grow up in Africa. Do you understand me?
Exactly.
You don't really get it.
And when I look at you, it's like, I just see a beautiful black woman. You know, it's like, look at her. And I wonder, even the first time I met you, I said, does she even know her power?
Yes, I did.
You know, I'm like, look at her. Her skin speaks volumes. Like the melanin. Like there's white people that go out and try to tan and try to achieve what you have from birth. And some people bleach it out.
But if I didn't have a strong mother and that told me that I was black and beautiful, if I didn't feel that, you know, my father said, oh, you're a princess.
Right.
My mother never said, yo, yeah, cut off the cream, you know, because me, I cut off mine.
Right.
And I was like, what? How am I going to grow my hair? Am I going to do my hair? She's like, you're just going to wear it natural. And me and my best friend, one day we said, you know what? Let's just do it the same time. And we did it the same time.
Telling
and we
you,
never looked back.
It's a beautiful thing.
So what do you think about, did you see the Miss South Africa win?
Beautiful. Yes. Oh, she is, I already DM'd her.
She had an agenda from the get-go.
Yeah,
she knew she's coming out. To tell people, I'm black, I'm here, I'm here to take up space.
Yeah, man.
Most definitely.
I DM'd her personally and just said, hey, we are proud of you.
So proud.
You know, because one of the things with our family, and as Rastafarians, we don't want to get caught saying Rasta, saying Africa, and not making the move, not being proactive, because a lot of our forefathers have never got a chance to go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we've preached about this place so many times, and some couldn't afford to buy a ticket.
And we've influenced so
Absolutely.
Much. We've influenced, like, you on your album, which we'll touch about, you have, like, Stoneboy, who I'm also going to be talking to. But reggae music and dancehall, which is the same thing as far as I'm concerned anyway, it's influenced so much Africans in ways that we in Jamaica don't even understand.
Trust me.
How it's helped them. People in the Congo, people in the bush, people at war, and they listen to like an Israel vibration, or they listen to, you know, Bob Marley or whoever, how they feel, you know.
Yes.
Have you always felt spiritual connection to Africa?
Always.
Growing up, 100%. Even when you were in Brooklyn.
I'll never forget when Peter dreamed his Imperial Majesty, and he woke up crying.
Wow.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, of course.
And I was like, this is real, you know, for that energy just to talk to him and visit him. And from that, there was this charge from Peter, man, like early days when them time they were I drink lead soup and eat brick crackers. Like, you know, when they are saying, when they are saying Thomas a train, like we're going to the Olympics. And I mean, it's like we were chosen to do this, to spread this message of the gathering of the people, of the separated black people scattered in the four.
You know your ancestors. I keep telling people, trust your ancestors, trust certain things that happened to you.
Yeah.
You know, I was yesterday, I had a pothole, my car lick a big pothole on Waterloo Road. And I was on my way to do my TV show.
Yeah.
And I'm actually turning into immigration where I was supposed to go to. So I said, let me turn in and park the car and beg the man to kind of help me with the I don't know how to change a car tire, guys. I'm so whack. So he changed the car tire for me. I said, let me just go in and take care of what I need to take care of. Mm-hmm. And while I went in, I said, you know what? It's like something put that big dirty pothole in my way for me to do what I needed to do so I can get through what I needed to do. So it was just a roadblock and it was a blessing at the same time.
Yes,
and something was talking, you know, just sometimes people just need to just stop, think, and listen.
Yeah.
It's always your ancestors. Yeah. It's always spirits or certain things talking to you.
Yeah.
Do people always think you're like, I don't know, some people might think I was crazy back in the day when I used to talk about being spiritual and spirits and ancestors.
Of course. So it was Jesus.
We live in a world that doesn't revere spirituality as it once did. So of course people are going to look at you as like, you know, you're off your rocks.
You're batshit crazy.
Yeah, man.
All right, so I want to touch on my sister, who's your sister as well, you know.
Yes.
She wasn't well, and she's recovered now.
Amen.
Are we going to see her on tour with you guys pretty soon, or is she taking a
different touring, but anything's possible for her to appear on a show here or there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, it's heritage for life. You know, we can't ever get rid of that.
Mm-hmm. But, I love her, man.
Yeah, man.
Her focus, what we want really see her do is, like, when me and Peter got a chance to work with other artists, you know, Jay Boog and the... You know, even Bugle's last album, that was my album, and Etana's album, that was nominated, that was my album. So to really expand ourselves as individuals, right? And when I was on tour with Indiari and Pujo and Taros, we did solo projects as a family. You never got that chance.
Yeah.
So when you talk about life and as a mother, it's like, and you come from an ordeal like that, it's like, man, I want to go fishing. I want to jump out of a plane. I want to go parachute gliding.
Yep.
And one of her biggest things was, I want to finish my solo album. So we really want her to finish that, as a goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
it's her next coming.
Yeah. And you always see, it's Heritage for Life. But right now, the workhorse is me and Peter and Mojo. And Luke is the manager of Raging Fire.
Right, I know that.
So, you know, we're putting our hands and spread the industry. It's no longer about the mog and the family.
You got to dabble in everything. Yeah. Yes, man. Everything.
Yeah, man.
Everything. All right, so let's get to the meat of the matter, which is Loyalty.
Yes,
sir.
Name of the new album.
New album.
Tell us about it.
I mean, it's a body of work that we challenged ourselves to do. I mean, after doing so many albums, sometimes you can become complacent and just know it's a program that's already set, but we wanted to challenge ourselves, which the final parts of this album being put together, we were in three different places at the same time doing the final work. You know, there's a point where Gramps was in South Korea, I was in Florida, Mojo was in Kenya.
Yeah.
And we were working through WhatsApp, video calling, messaging, you know, phone conferencing. Thank big up WhatsApp for that. They need to give us a check. So without WhatsApp, we couldn't have done
it,
man. And emails and Dropbox and you know what I'm saying. So it challenged us. And what we put in this album and why we call it Loyalty is to show the world that we Morgan Heritage are loyal to reggae. Not a certain sort of reggae, not just roots reggae, but reggae music. Because under the umbrella of reggae, you have roots reggae, you have lovers rock reggae, and even dancehall is under the umbrella. You know what I mean? So we incorporated all those sounds and the way people hear reggae from their land. Like a song called Weekend Greens, it's how the Americans interpret reggae. Bands like Iration and Pepper, that's their sound of reggae.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then you have your Stoneboy.
Your Stoneboy and the Diamond Platinums. And,
their sound of reggae.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, mix it with Afrobeat and, you know, them...
Sir.
Doing it
I'm gonna say Afrobeat, sir.
Yeah, Afrobeat.
Afrobeat is Fela Kuti.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was, you know, the gist of why we call the album Loyalty. Show our loyalty to the music.
Globally.
100%.
That's nice. What do you guys have anything that you really favor of the album the most?
Different songs for different moments, you know? Like, Loyalty is that song where everybody wants loyalty.
I heard the exclusive being played today.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, whoa, like, in your brethren want loyalty from him brethren. The woman want loyalty from her man. The man want loyalty from the woman. Even a dog and his master, he want the dog to be loyal to him. Mm-hmm. Sit, boy. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I think is going to become like a commodity amongst the human race because it's hard to find nowadays. So Loyalty could be that song. And then Bedrock is one of those songs that hit you. Like, you talk about like a Shaggy, a Shabba Ranks. Sean Paul to me today is a Bedrock.
Because
the work that he's putting...
He's still putting it in, man.
This year alone.
And nobody... He's about, what, 8, 9 hits?
Right.
Like, yeah, he put something
up. Mega hits. No, let's get it correct.
Mega hits.
Right.
And everything that Sean touches.
And still not being celebrated enough, I believe, in my opinion.
We celebrate Sean.
Yes. So we need to celebrate things like that. And that's what this album is really about, just... That's why the title track is called Loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, let's be loyal to Brand Jamaica. The biggest thing now is like, okay, you heard what's going on, like Afrobeats taking over from dancehall. And I'm like, come on,
how
let's just
it?
Do what we
Afrobeats
do.
Afrobeats is a part of dancehall.
Right.
Afro,
it's a baby of dancehall.
Fela Kuti produced Afrobeat. Afrobeat is a fusion of reggae, jazz, and highlife.
That's correct.
Afrobeats is a fusion of dancehall, highlife.
That's correct.
Afrobeat, you know, a little bit of and hip hop.
We should be proud of it.
You know your music.
Of course, I do, man.
You know your music.
We need to embrace it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that Afrobeats came out because it's made our young people now embrace Africa a lot more.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
And understand the culture.
Culture.
You know.
Yeah, man. 100.
So it's, you know, wear their garms proudly and, you know, big up, like, even Black Panther and people complaining, you're not wearing the black thing. Be happy that they're wearing something that's
begun.
African.
Right.
It starts.
Right. It has begun.
It's a
you
start.
Know? We always complain about everything. It's like, no, them I say, oh, we want Pata to be a language. Oh, them for that. It's like.
That's what actually is a language, though, right? Why would you want it to be? It's a language.
I would love it to be. Me personally, I would love it to be. But if. It's up to the government, but I'm just saying that people are against it. To hear that people are against it, it's like,
colonial.
What? You got the chance to have the world recognize a language where people used to look pun.
But people talk patois everywhere.
Thank you.
Stormboy talk
Thank
patois.
You, gentleman.
Gentleman talks patois. You're in the bus in England and a white boy's like, yeah, bruv. But their palm ends, you know?
Right.
Right.
And you turn around, it's a whitey, white, shade, white, white boy.
Yeah.
We don't realize how powerful we are.
It should be. It should be. It's a language.
Yes.
You grow up listening to it.
Yep.
It's a language.
Yes.
All right, oof on that.
Now mine, that's yours.
Oh, shame.
See?
And I thought I turned this thing
off. See?
Oh, shame. I love
it. I got bad up. All right. Tell me about when... Your friend and my friend, Buju Bantam, was released. How did that make you feel? Because you're very close with Mark.
Yeah, goosebumps.
Yeah.
Goosebumps. I mean, it's hard to explain. Because when it was released, it was almost like a secret. It was like nobody knew whether it was coming from the moon or it was coming by a boat or a spaceship. Nobody knew. You know, it was like a very held secret. And because they anticipated, you know, it would be a... You know, he wanted to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
First thing he wanted to do was just hug his kids and hug his dad.
Yeah.
But everybody's looking at the Buju, similar to what we went through, like Jimmy Cliff and Denver and Morgan. But at the end of the day, he's dad to his kids.
But Buju is still a person that people don't really know that still always was kind of undercover.
He always
had that aloofness with that Dave Kelly vibe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That aloofness.
Man. And you got that Prince thing. Is that Prince never wanted to overexpose himself on the internet. And he wanted control of that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of artists need to take a note of that to don't overexpose yourself. But when Buju came out, it was a celebration, man. And not only for us, the Morgan family. It was a celebration for the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world was talking about it. I saw a clip, American Airlines was playing the man's song, Don't Like. He was like, we're going to the land of Buju.
Wow.
I was like, that's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and it just shows you how powerful the music is on the culture. I can't even imagine when Vybz Kartel, if he ever gets his freedom, what it's that's going to be like, you know?
But if.
Yeah, yeah, but Buju, is our friendship is just, it's a beautiful and special thing. Like, you know, to see him making music again and hear the song, and he got a new record out.
Number which one is doing, on Billboard.
Yeah, which is doing
really well. I said doing somebody amazing. Like a year ago, Mark was just coming out.
Yeah.
And now he's ending his year with a number one hit.
Yeah.
And a Wicked collaboration. It's beautiful. And it's just a beautiful blessing thing.
Him. And he was the first one to bring Morgan Heritage to the UK for a tour.
Wow.
He requested Morgan Heritage. That's just when Don't Have Forget was on the rise.
What's up, everyone? It's Boss Britt.
And it's DJ Excel.
If you're a fan of the queer culture and lifestyle, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the No Homo Show.
We're a show that shares true stories that are uncut, funny, relatable, and of course, gay from a lesbian's perspective.
That's right. Brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network.
Guys, and we had a couple hit records in the UK, and nobody really knew what it was, but the songs were big. And he's kind of that first, he was the first artist to bring us on tour in the UK.
Wow.
And from that day, he's been a brother, not a friend.
That's right. Yeah. All right. All right. So last thing, I ask a lot of people this question.
Mm-hmm.
Reggae is, and you answer it.
Reggae is a power that can't be removed.
Okay, you grumps?
Reggae will continue to be news.
Reggae is or reggae is?
Reggae is news.
All right. All right. What about Jamaica? Jamaica is.
Oh.
Mm. Jamaica's blessed.
Jamaica's influential.
What about Africa is?
The foundation.
Africa is everything.
All right, Africa's the future.
Yeah.
All right, and on that note, thank you, brothers.
Thank you.
We're going
us.
Link up. Oh, hey, Gramps owe me food and everybody. So if you see Gramps on the road, you say, yo, you cooked the dinner for a dessert
did you,
yet?
Did you pay that bill?
Yeah, sir? Did you pay? Reasons you for it. The dessert. We out.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this is the last episode for this season and the last episode for the year. I'll be back in January with lots more. It's going to be an Africa series, as I told you. And I just want to big up and send some love to my affiliates and sponsors, my affiliates, Ideas Evolution, and also my Drinky Poo sponsors throughout the year was definitely through Campari with Ray and Nephew, with Appleton, Rum, and all those fabulous wines. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts or the platform of your choice. Well, I'm off. Linkage laters. Peace.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.